Little Jerusalem Revisited. Here, as a growing, healthy Catholic boy, I could distinguish Yid from Prodigy. As easily by their traits as by their names, religion even entered into games. Plunkett, for instance, for a penny bet, once pulled a Jewish rabbi's beard all wet with Hebrew spittle from his Hebrew talk as he returned from Sabbath synagogue. Others played denominational handball on Sundays against a Protestant's brick wall, but Catholic boys were quite at liberty to play on Sundays and on weekdays equally. It was quite valid, too, to earn some brass by lighting a Jewish neighbor's fire or gas on Saturdays, though mothers might protest. The main thing was, dressed in our Sunday best, we went to Mass on Sundays, said our prayers, and shut the door on such pernicious wares as Bibles, hawked by a proselytizing prod, exhorting us to hear the word of God. Another pavement artist gent made neat shamrocks with chalk on every other street, inscribing on each concrete-centered leaf the abstract exhortations, love, joy, peace. It was clandestine, if not quite a sin, to read the scripture notices within the iron railings of a Protestant church. But few of us resisted the strong urge to do so, accidentally, dismay. Vengeance is mine, the Lord said, I'll repay. On Sunday afternoons, we took our stand at Portobello, where a small brass band of red and navy uniformed staunch sals entreated us to be good Christian pals, and chanted hymns to our short-trousered group, whose Catholic catcall was Salvation Soup. History vindicated us, we thought. Our father's faith, God knows, was dearly bought in blood, oppression, martyrdom, and worse. Despite the penal laws and Cromwell's curse, despite the Mason and the Orange Lodge, our faith inviolate refused to budge. What if our two cathedrals were retained for Protestant worship still? No one complained, since they were closed on weekdays, and on Sunday half empty, while their bells tolled God send Monday. Meantime, in our weekday play-day games, we called each other by our Christian names. Ours a bright host of Patrick's, Mary's, Anne's. Theirs a garland of Violet's, Myrtle's, Pam's. Distinguishing one of them from one of ours was simple, patron saints or patron flowers. In death, however, discrimination went immediately by the board. Our parents bent backwards to pay respects, flowers were sent, all blinds drawn, sympathy expressed with proper decency, getting off their chest the burden of sectarian constraints, communing in the communion of saints. For death the leveller is death the spirit level. Shout out this Christian truth and shame the devil. Revisiting these streets, these terraces of squatting red-bricked houses, all seems changed. The smell from Keefe's the knackers still retains its power to tittle at nostrils and brain. The Angelus bell still rings at noon and six. But childhood's apocryphal river Styx no longer separates the window plants of Catholics and Jews and Protestants. Old Rabbi Solomon's, with his black skull cap and silver spittled beard, seems as remote as Abraham himself. How we enjoyed the matzahs he gave us at Passover time. It had the tang of far-off Palestine. And widowed Mr. Forrester, who took his two small sons and three enormous Bibles to Sunday service in our boys' brigade regalia, or little Mrs. Darmody, who still at 80 went to daily Mass, her back bent from arthritis parallel to our black button boots. How she could pray for hours before the tabernacle, long after Mass or evening devotions, then spider patient, sway before the shrines of St. Joseph, the little flower, the child of Prague, until the clerk blew out the candles, rattled keys, and nudged her back to Times and Constancy. Here also, trapped in Times and Constancy, I linger, waiting for a sign I know will never come to give reality to shadows, as vaguely dominating as church spires, where frantic starlings quest and nest at dusk. The drums of childhood drum, oh, keep on drumming, Childhood cannot sustain a second coming.